Okay, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh, can I put that on this? So, my name's Janice, I'm chair this evening. As ever, we welcome observers to this meeting of council. Please note this meeting is being recorded. This isn't a public meeting, but it is a meeting of the council held in public. Members of the public, please do not approach councillors, and councillors, please do not engage with observers during the meeting. I remind councillors of the need to treat all present with respect and ask members of the public to do the same. And I respectfully ask members of the public to maintain silence during the council's deliberations. And please make sure your phone is off or on silent, and I always have to double check if mine is. Right, so, apologies and approval.
The councillors Ranzetta, Stigma and Domini have explained to me that they're unable to be here tonight, and we have no absences that we need to approve.
Are there any declarations of interest?
I haven't received any updates from councillors concerning their register of interest or further requests of dispensations. Two questions. Firstly, do any councillors have any interest concerning tonight's agenda of which I'm not aware that they feel they need to tell me about?
You know,
And secondly, do councillors have any updates to their previously declared interests? I remind
you,
councillors, they have 28 days.
You asked me to declare my interest last meeting, where you deemed that because I've got a container on one piece of land, that I'm restricted and have to leave the room on the other piece of land. It's not what the monitor office said, because my container is on Step and Meadow, and you're discussing the poultry farm. They're not the same entity, they're two different buildings.
So, it's register of interest. It is up to you to decide whether you feel that your interest needs to make you leave room. That's a general principle.
Mm-hmm.
The next general principle is that if someone doesn't feel that that's appropriate, then we go into the monitoring office of peace. The next principle is that if it is your disclosable pecuniary interest, which yours is in respect of the allotment, which is on Second Meadow, according to your register of interest. Your container is on Second Meadow.
Yes.
So you have a pecuniary interest in Second Meadow.
Yes.
With respect to the poultry farm,
yes.
If we were discussing the poultry farm, it's your choice. Someone may challenge that with a monitoring officer.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could argue that if you're renting land from someone who owns Second Meadow,
mm-hmm.
and that person also owns poultry farm, that there is a register of interest problem. Someone could argue that. I'm not arguing it with you.
No, I didn't think
you were. But the rules are, and many councillors have been written to me over this over the last few days, that you need to think, it's your personal responsibility, you need to think, A, where that really puts you, and B, where a member of the public, if they knew absolutely everything about it, which you've absolutely just told us, would make of it.
Okay,
that's fine. That's how, so I'm not going to tell you to go, but that's, I said it's very helpful that you brought that out.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Chair, I didn't hear the clerk mention Councillor Faulkner's name.
I thought I did, but apologies if I
didn't. I heard you say
yes. So my second question was, do any councillors have any updates to their previously declared interest, reminding councillors they have 28 days to tell the Baber folk that they have changes in their interests? Anyone got any?
No?
Okay. And not quite there yet. As you alluded to, Chris, I'm anticipating that you'll leave the room for items 17 and 18. The monitoring officer at Baber Council has today updated me concerning his progress. And that is that he will be convening meetings of the Suffolk Joint Standards Board. We will have those. That board will likely receive reports concerning the behaviours of two Leven Parish councillors. And as previously advised, it's likely that this board will be comprised of elected councillors from the Suffolk District Council. He's also advised me that he's been in contact with the police. The second point is that there are a variety of other complaints, largely related to interest, that his office is still working through. The third point is that he's confident that your clerk has a solid understanding of the issues related to interest. Thank you, Michael. And his last point is he understands that Scout are drafting guidance notes for parish councils and an upcoming one of these relates to interest. He will ensure that this guidance is shared with me so that I can pass it on to councillors in due course. That's the declaration of interest and dispensation section.
Okay, I am making a change to the order on the agenda. I am moving up chair's announcement, which I am going to do now. So, for this month's chair's announcement, I wish to make the following statement. During the meeting of the 5th of March, we witnessed behaviour from a councillor that I consider disorderly and disruptive. This is being addressed. I understand the complaints from councillors and members of the public have been submitted to the authorities. It is important that as councillors we can be held accountable and adopt the behaviours and responsibilities associated with the role. Our conduct as an individual councillor affects the reputation of all councillors and the council itself. Councillors are expected to act with integrity and honesty, to act lawfully, to treat all persons fairly and with respect, to lead by example and to act in a way that secures public confidence in the role of councillor. Councillors are expected to abide by the Code of Conduct, which was developed by the Local Government Association. This code has been designed to protect our democratic role, encourage good conduct, and safeguard the public's trust in local government. I draw councillors and members of the public's attention to a few key points from our Code of Conduct. Regarding respect, councillors undertake to treat other councillors and members of the public with respect. This includes other local authority employees and their representatives. Regarding disrepute, councillors undertake to not bring their role or council into disrepute. Their actions and behaviour are subject to greater scrutiny than that of ordinary members of the public, and may adversely impact on themselves, other councillors, or the council as a whole. Regarding bullying and harassment, the Code of Conduct is clear that councillors undertake to not bully or harass any person. We are expected to promote equalities and not discriminate unlawfully against any person. This parish council does not tolerate bullying or harassment in the workplace, although it needs to be noted that council itself has no powers of sanction regarding the behaviour of councillors or members of the public. Should a councillor not comply with the Code of Conduct, they are answerable to Bayburn District Council's monitoring officer or the police if it is considered that their behaviour may be unlawful. Should anyone want further information, the Code of Conduct and our complaints policy are available on our website. The position of chair does not give me any additional general authority over my fellow councillors. However, whilst facilitating healthy debate, I am required to ensure meetings are conducted properly. Should improper or disorderly conduct occur in a meeting, the following course of action is followed. If a person or persons disregard the request of the chair of the meeting to moderate or improve their conduct, any councillor or the chair of the meeting may move that that person be no longer heard or be excluded from the meeting. This motion, if seconded, shall be put to the vote without discussion. If this vote is ignored and that person continues or refuses to leave the room, the chair of the meeting may take further reasonable steps to restore order to progress the meeting. This may include temporarily suspending or indeed closing the meeting. We should be able to undertake our role as councillors without being intimidated, abused, bullied, or threatened by anyone. I do not expect a repeat of the behaviour displayed at the last meeting. However, as chair, I assure councillors and members of the public that I will not tolerate any similar behaviour. Thank you for your patience. We will now progress to approval of the minutes of the last meeting. And I think you can just list to the bottom of the meeting.
Thank you, Chair. The councillor's information, the recording was published on March the 6th, and then the first set of draft minutes was sent out on March the 16th, and then following comments received from a number of councillors, revised draft minutes were sent out on Tuesday, March the 24th.
Right, everybody's had a chance. Was there any?
Chair, if I may. On item 13 on the minutes, I just want to clarify that I used the word commercial. And I should have used the word private, and I only discovered that when I was doing research for the following few days on a motion I'm bringing forward later this evening. So my apologies to Council for misspeaking.
Thank you for that. So everybody's had a good chance to read these minutes. Is there anybody who is not minded to support the minutes or want to make any further comment? So would somebody like to propose that these are an accurate reflection? Thank you, Councillor Sherman. And seconded by Councillor Morford. We'll start with an audible vote. Just
yes.
Here.
Yes.
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 Thank you.
Just one abstention.
Just one abstention. Okay, so we now move on to public participation. Before I do my little ramble, is there anybody who wants to say anything? I should do my ramble at the evening. So anybody wishing to ask a question has 3 minutes each, or make a statement. Matters raised must be in respect of the business on the agenda or local matters only. Standing orders of the council are clear that this public participation is for 10 minutes. I think there's only two people and we're going to be able to stick fairly closely in that. And if we can't answer your question tonight, contact the park with your name, contact details, and there will be a written response within 28 days. So, you can fight between yourselves or suggest the little first.
Can the parish council do anything to make the Lower Road safer? That presently the closure of Water Street puts a lot more traffic around the Lower Road. Trying to walk around there is absolutely taking the life into your own hands. But the growth of the banks is so sticking out of the road, it's making virtually a one-way street. I know I've asked this in the past, but it is getting quite serious. We're going towards the summer, the kids are going to be wanting to go from Spring Street around the play area. It's just not safe around there now, it really does need covering. Also, the street lights are giving very little light because the trees are so underground. So could you push anything forward on that? I know I've asked before, but...
So, with regards to that stretch of road, I suspect that you can put something on its website. I think as a member of the public, that would be a good thing to do, but we can also flag that as well, because the more people that contact them, the better.
Contact them?
Suffolk, because it's highways. I think it's highways.
It is highways. Yes. It is highways. None of that land is ours.
So I think if you can go online and register that yourself, the same as
you
go to
Cotton.
Will, but I think the more that people mention it, the better. Numbers are important.
Yeah, if I may, it's the reporting tool we want. So it will come up with a whole list of things that you can report. You go to pre-trees vegetation or whatever, and then you can report it there. And then, as the chair says, the more people report it, the higher up the heart. It's not a very fair system, but it does work that way. That you will get a higher priority in terms of reacting to
I think the fact that it is a safety issue needs to be really stressed to them.
I will report them as well. And the next time the highways man brings me up, I will mention it too. We had a conversation about lower rail last time, but actually we could do more for hearing than landing joint. So thank you.
Good point. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I say something, please? Mm-hmm. Just past the last house on Lower Road, going out of Blavenham, the bank is actually giving way and it's collapsing into the river. There's a, like a little lay-by and it's actually collapsing into the river.
Yeah. Where's happening, Jimmy?
Just
in my house.
Yeah, just past your house. I didn't want to say your house, but just past.
Thank you, that was kind.
Is it the island house?
No. Well, it's past the island Rowan? House, but Rowan? Past Andrews, there's like a little lay-by, or not lay-by, but a piece of dirt on the side of the road that people have been pulling in. Next time, past there, I think. It's starting to collapse into the river.
Roughly how many yards from the house for which we are not mentioning?
50 yards, I suppose. I had a metal stake in a little while ago, and that's. I think you know where it is, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, the potholes are so bad there as well.
Any individual can report them.
I have done.
And
well done.
And I've reported, and the highways man is well aware of them. It's the whole criteria, you know.
Okay.
So let us say one more thing. It's, if you use what three words and photographs, you've got the facility to do that. That really helps the case. Thank you, Chair.
Next.
Just tonight we've got agenda item 11. Just a question, really. Obviously, I don't know what's going to get said tonight. I've got to speak from you guys to discuss it. But is that policy or that motion sort of something that other parish councils get from me? Because reading through it doesn't quite strict, or you could say perhaps a bit OTT on some of the wording. I was worried how the council is going to sort of be able to have like a balanced, proper conversation on certain matters if you're very strictly managed on what you can, you're not going to be able to say or discuss, etc. So is that policy that's done elsewhere sort of that strict? And if you were to implement it, is it not a good idea perhaps to get rid of some dispensations that the councillors have? Because just think from this side, you know, you're going to have situations where, I don't know, say a planning matter comes up and someone's got a dispensation they can discuss on their street. They can't vote on it perhaps, but they can leave the discussion and talk about it. But then other points, you're going to have some councillors that will leave the room, and if they're linked to this, like we had just a little bit earlier, you've got situations that I think are very confusing.
There's a very good reason why people have to leave the room. And yes, it's pain, people being in and out, but they have to leave. When the rules are that they leave the room, they have to leave the room. Their presence could influence other councillors, for example, by intimidation. So they have to leave the room.
Okay, well, the point I'm trying to make though is that if there's a planning application on a certain street, or a major street, but on a certain street, someone lives a couple of doors down, there's been instances in the past where that councillor has stayed in the room, discussed it, but not voted on it.
Well, that will happen tonight, because there is something on the planning that is two doors away from where I live. But it doesn't affect my property, either negatively or positively.
And I would be if this is the straightforward thing.
No, because life's more difficult than that, unfortunately. So if there was something discussed that was next door to my house and it could potentially be to the benefit of my house or to the against my house or the value of it or whatever, then I would say this affects my disclosable pecuniary interests, and I personally would choose to leave the room. I actually did so maybe 3 years ago, when before I even bought the house, when I was hoping to buy it. So I deliberately left the room when it was planned permission for the house in which I now live. Because you not only have to do the right thing, you have to be seen to be doing the right thing, which takes me back to a statement on you. We have to hold ourselves to a high level of behaviour, and we seem to be doing so. I can't discuss anything further about item 11 because we haven't got there yet.
No.
But your comments are noted. I think basically, hopefully, all councillors are just trying to do the right thing. And sometimes it's clunky because we're in and out. But that, if that's what has to be done to do things properly, then that's the way it has to be.
In the discussion, can you just address the question of, is it policy that's implemented elsewhere?
I'm sure.
In the discussion, could that just be addressed?
I'm sure that can be addressed. Yes. Thank you. Was there anybody else wanted to say anything? Nope. Lovely. We shall move on to local authority councillors' report. And I believe you're going to.
And Paul, as has been a couple of times recently, you have to listen to me do my best councillor impersonation. Just because you can flex your speech in a way that I can't. Councillor Lindsay has told us that that is Paul's report, not Councillor Lindsay's.
I was sorry, I thought you said that. Councillor report, yeah.
He has told us that Suffolk has chosen, government has chosen that there are going to be three unitaries in Suffolk, as advocated for by the leaders of all five district councils, rather than the one single one promoted by the Suffolk County Council, particularly its Conservative group. He tells us that this means that if this plan goes ahead, which we think it will, Ladman will be in West Suffolk, which will stretch from just west of Hadley all the way to Newmarket and Brandon. As he said, I'm now reading from him properly. There will be a lot of noise about how much money the change will cost, but both options are expensive and both predicted a 4 or 5 year timescale before those costs are clawed back in savings. He says that the three councils option is the smallest the councils the government would allow, and that having three small councils gives, in his opinion, the opportunity for an effective administration to be more responsive to people than Suffolk County Council ever was. And then he describes the two other areas, and Central and Eastern Suffolk councils actually comes quite close to Ladman. Places like Rattleston and Stowmarket are in the same council that goes all the way through to Lowestoft. He's then written at length about the closure of High Street for water main repairs, and I shan't go into those, but draw everyone's attention to it. He then talks in the next page here about how Suffolk has been allocated £1.7 million by the government in emergency funding for people unable to afford heating oil following the recent price rises, and the county council says it will administer through its local welfare assistance scheme. And then his last points are about the bus service between Hadley and Stowmarket, which starts up very shortly, and that he's pleased that in his opinion, but we will talk about this later, that in his opinion, there appears to be a reasonable agreement between the county council, the allotments group, and the parish council for access to vehicles or vehicles over the railway walk to the allotments. But that's his point for later. Obviously, I can't answer questions on councillor's behalf. So, Chair, let's get back. Paul,
yeah. Thank you. Okay. So, obviously, we're both identifying three authorities for some up there. One point, I see in Councillor Minister's report, they call it West Suffolk, which is, there is already a West Suffolk, so this one, the title Western Suffolk has come up. To make that differentiation, because there'll be so much confusion between West Suffolk and Western Suffolk. And as Andrew rightly points out, so Western Suffolk really will be running up, we're right on the cusp here, we're coming up through Nayland, Polstead, and then up through here, and it carries on all through Washington and sort of wiggles its way up to the top of Suffolk
I think the those new councils will come into operation on April 2028, but the elections for the shadow councillors will be the year before that. As Rob's already said, it will take 4 to 5 years to cover the cost of transition. But I think what we need to understand with shadow councillors is that when they're elected, their role will be just to oversee the transition of the administration. They won't be able to answer residents' calls to deal with issues in any particular parish. That will fall to the existing district and county councillors. So that needs to be clear at this point. And also in terms of this, each unitary authority from government will it will be funded by the cost of about £900,000. It's not going to cover the cost of this transition at all, but it is something. The government at the moment has said that they're assuming that there will be 60 councillors for each unitary authority. Now, Faber and Lutzow are debating this because they said it's 60, between 60 and 66, and they're going to work out what those numbers will actually be according to the rules, particularly in that particular unitary authority. So that's still in a band. With the new system, there will be what's called a senior responsible officer, and he generally tends to be the CEO of the county council, which is our case will be Mark Ash. And so he is there responsible for bringing everyone together and pushing through this transition. So I think that's about it on that one. Just one other thing on mayoral elections, although for both the county council elections, which we know have got coming up, and the ones in 2027, that will be a first-past-the-post system. But for the mayoral elections, it's highly likely that it will be first post and then second post coming. So it will be a different system again. And as you know, moving on to county council elections, the pre-election period has now started. So the normal limits on what use of council resources and what any councillors can say there. Moving on to call for sites, and I know this has been something that a lot of people have been interested in. So where we are now is that, as I think I said in the last meeting, we had two separate call for sites over the last few years, and there's 1,000 in total. Once the list has been refined, which we think will be really at the beginning of sort of January 2027, round about then, there is 20,000 funding available to support neighbourhood development plans. As long as those plans are identifying development of housing within that parish, and of course this doesn't happen in isolation. There's the reference to the new joint local plan, which is a constant evolving piece. So this is not an easy thing to achieve because the new joint local plan will cover the period 2026 to 2045. So it really is a matter of just trying to see what the direction of travel and accepting that all parishes are going to have some level of housing development in there. And when the council is still not saying what those levels are likely to be. So it's a very difficult thing, particularly for neighbourhood plans, to do there. Moving on to better recycling, in some areas, I think in this things have already been delivered, but here it will be late April, May, and if we just take the brown garden waste out, so a standard household will now, if we just talk about the normal 240 litre bins, you've got your black and your blue at the moment, and at the moment black is just straightforward general waste, blue is limited recycling, shall we say, and then there will be a black green litter bin that will be introduced and delivered there. If you could just scroll up, thank you. Yeah. So the black bin space is the general waste there, but the blue bin, but not food, the blue bin will take clean, dry glass bottles, jars, so all, even the excluded things that you aren't allowed to put into recycling, like Tetra Pak cartons, the sorts of plastics, they can all go in. And the new green lidded bin, that would be paper and card only. And then you've got two food kit caddies, one sort of a drain board size, and then a bigger one for outside. They get collected every week, and the three big bins will be once every 3 weeks. And then I've got to thank Councillor Moore for it here, because there has been some discussion about what if you can't store three 240 litre bins, which is true to a lot of properties. And what we managed to ascertain is that you have to make them accurate. If you want other than the 240 litre bin, then you have to make an application. And you just scroll up again, Ian, please. But the council will make that assessment about whether you can have an alternative to the standard 240 litre bins. So, it could be that you're looking at single-use sacks for your collection, or and they can be plastic, they can be paper, depending on what you're looking to put in there. But of course, there are the smaller bin sizes, which I think from memory it's 120 and 80 litre. I think it's about this. But there are two other bin sizes as well that you can actually use. It's all there in the report, so it will appear in the minutes. But as I say, once the council has made their decision, that's it. And the other thing I should say, that we've been, if it's sacks or bags, they'll give you a complete supply for a year. Now, you might say, well, I haven't got a place to put that, but that's the way it's going to work, I'm afraid. So that's where we are on that one. Moving on to fuel prices, again, Robert Lindsay has covered this off. I did notice, so they are saying that they've made this money available, but the government has said that there will be no decision on support for heating oil prices. This happened this week until the autumn, so those two pieces of information are slightly conflicting, well, they are conflicting, in fact. I think that the problem is that, you know, Suffolk has one of the highest instances of homes that rely on heating oil, but there are interest-free loans available. You can buy in bulk, and you can either go to citizens' advice. And in fact, I think this is where what this is identifying is it may also be possible to provide for a grant from the South Local Welfare Assistance Scheme. So that seems to be available, but the government is saying that they're not going to make a more general decision on that until the autumn. And of course, we don't know where heating oil prices will be by then. I think this is two final points, is Clay Hill Lane. The owner there has done some work, but he's used wood chips there, and really, if they're going to use agricultural machinery, it's not really going to be able to stand up to
just wood chips there. I've taken it up with my contact inside Suffolk Council, who's only responsible for Crowe and not unclassified roads, which that is. But I'm going to talk to the contractor who's doing that and see, because I think that's the best way to go about this, and see if we can persuade them to use, really, it needs more hardcore in there, in our view. And the chap, the officer for the Crown, he agrees with that assessment, so that's what we decided upon. And the final one is the 11, which was, you know, it's over a month ago that we reported that, they acknowledged it, but I have been sending requests for updates, but not received any further information since then.
Thank you. Councillors, any questions?
Thanks. In the call for site, you described the second line, the first list of accepted sites is expected to be published in May 2026. What's the definition of the word accepted in that context?
I think I said in the last week there's a training system. And what it is that ones that are, they're close to some sort of amenity, it might be a power station or something like that, that would render them immediately, that might be a bad example, those are the ones that, there's a sort of short list of things that you just can't have, hasn't been ones close to. And they would get wiped out at that stage. And that's my understanding of that first sweep.
So there are a few sites that are obviously unacceptable.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole lot of sites, some of which may turn out to be unacceptable or acceptable or whatever.
Yes, so for instance, in that first sweep, it might be in a flood zone, but it still gets included.
Yeah.
Because they're not assessing it.
I can see that if the word accepted was used in a colloquial sense, then people might feel that they're actually being accepted as somewhere in which building is going to take place.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Because it's not accepted, it just means it moves on to the next round.
Yeah.
It's probably a better expression.
Can I ask another question about something else? You mentioned that in May 2027, there will be the shadow election.
Yes.
What happened to you guys in May 2027?
Oh, no, that's where we go on. So we, although it will be the end of our term, so the shadow councillors, and they are the new combined representative municipal authorities. As I say, they're involved with the whole business of transition and administration, but we're working with them because we're the ones with the, we could get a lot of guys with very little experience. And we're working with them, but we will also be working directly with the parishes as well, whereas they will not.
Right.
That's
my understanding. So like Robert Adam, his term was extended by a year. You anticipate that you're going to have your...
It's a five-year term.
Right.
Yes.
So just, I'm maybe missing something here. So you're going to have all the councillors you currently have.
Yes.
Then a load more councillors.
Yes.
But what if the councillors that we already have want to be amongst that?
You know. Well, we can do, yes.
So we might not... Right, click on my brain here, so I'm not going to go any further.
Yes, Janice, in theory, Councillor Clerk will be a district councillor till May 2028.
Yeah.
And also in May 2027, get himself elected as a shadow councillor for Western Suffolk.
Correct.
So you have two hands.
I have two hands, yes, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That would work quite nicely, in fact, because then I would be able to deal with the normal day-to-day, but the transition, but the workload would be fantastic, of course.
Sorry, can I just ask one more question?
One last one, if it's okay.
Well, this is about recycling. It's really, I suppose, your how you see it. You correctly identified that some of us will have to make room for these big 240 litre bins. How much resistance do you anticipate to people actually saying, oh, it's great, you just drop them at the front door and we'll get on with it?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think it's probably going to be a case of that, although the Baker Council will say they've done their best to advise people, then certainly these things start arriving and a number of people don't really understand, realise what's going on. Even though every household has been mailed, as far as I understand, with the information charges.
The information that we've been mailed to us has been very limited. Now, basically, maybe it will clear towards the end of the process.
That's the first way, and I agree with you, it's very generic. It doesn't really go into the detail to tell you what how this will work.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please do.
In the glass, we can put glass in one of these bins,
yes.
Bottles, etc. Yes. So what is going to happen to the bottle bank here? Does that stay as well?
That will stay for a bit, but then it will get removed.
Will go. So all glass can go into that, or bottles anyway, yes. Can go into that.
Yes. The idea is to move from there to curbside.
Lovely.
The parish may get some... Does the parish here receive any
recompense? No.
Okay.
Yeah.
It will actually. They will be removed.
Right.
It will be removed.
Okay. I think we probably need to move on.
Okay.
So we will now go to Clark/RFO report.
Okay. So my first update to councillors is that following councillors' decision to publish and retain the recordings of council meetings, and most importantly, the successful implementation of that decision, I've determined that there is no need for the minutes to be as lengthy as they previously have been, and because, frankly, all the comments of councillors are now on the recordings. So in future minutes, they will include the announcements made, the contributions of members of the public, and then the actual decision made. And this will actually bring council completely into line with best practice, which is that members of the public shouldn't be named, comments by members of the public should be recorded very generally, and minutes should be a record of decisions made, and as well as the guidance says, these should never be a verbatim record of what individual councillors have said. Rarely is it necessary to record the details of debate. Examples of when it would be material to do so would be in evidencing that appropriate advice had been considered or risks assessed in relation to decisions. So we shall now go down that path. Public roundup comes next. The tree survey has been received and it's been sent to the tree surgeon requesting his plan. I've chased that. I still haven't got it, I expect it shortly. The replacement EV chargers have now been fully installed in Water Street and it's expected that the new owners of those will switch those on very shortly. I've chased them for a date and I'm looking forward to A, because the chargers will work, and B, because we'll start getting the rent. Next item, daily cleaning of the toilets and twice weekly emptying of a number of street litter bins has been restarted. And that means there have been many fewer instances of no toilet paper, and actually the loo haven't required any minor repairs in the last few weeks. The chair of the HUB has advised me that they expect to hear in several months' time whether their application to become a charity has been approved. So should it be approved, then councillors will need to decide what to do concerning the lease. On a really personal and sad note, it was really horrible the other day. I received the application from the Morrie family for Margaret's name to be put on her husband's gravestone. So, it was kind of when that came through. Councillor Bourne, thank you. You've been in touch with the residents of Church Street concerning the replacement lights, some of them. I think we're going to have a further chat, and there's a possibility of putting it on the wall. by the tree that we need to do some further research on.
Find out exactly who owns that wall.
Is that a fair summary? People have been talked to, another site possibly found, more investigations.
Exactly. So just give me another week or so and I'll get back to you on that. But the light, generally speaking, they want the light, but nobody wants it on their house.
But they might be happy for it to be on the, basically a wall.
Well, yes, we have identified a wall. We're just trying to find out whose wall it is and whether they're all right with it. But I'll let you know.
Thank you. That is public realm. Counts. So last month I told everybody that the February accounts will show a deficit for the 11 months to the end of February of £7,000. And I said, Ian, could you go to the graph, that that was an improvement compared to the forecast deficit of 17,000. So deficit 7 grand, I said, for would be for the 11 months, and that was 10 grand better than we had forecast. Actually, that update was accurate. The actual deficit for the 11 months is just a few hundred quid difference in that. And this is the graph that shows the £10,000 of savings, and people will remember it is exactly the same things that we talked about last month. The election, the streetlights, energy, maintenance, the Christmas event grant being repaired, the locality grants and these, for a lot of people, one thing in the room, toilet cleaning savings, electricity savings, because actually we did have electricity and gas savings last year, because of course the events, shall we say, in Iran were not really in this category. Bearer income, with a fair amount of bearer income. And then everything else, you know, is £1,000 or so. So exactly, that's exactly the same stuff as I said everybody last month. For the heat, for the whole year, I now know, because of course we are in early April, I do now know what the result for the whole year is. I just didn't know when I put these papers together a week ago. The expected deficit for the whole year is now 5,000 quid. That would be £11,500 less than we thought. Cost actually a further £1,500 compared to about 10. The further £1,500 is because we've got £1,000 of burial income in March. Burial income is normally only about £7,000 for the year, so £1,000 is on my rock, is going in. And then the other reason is that the legal costs concerning the subject access request, those invoices have actually finally been received and paid. The lawyers were encouraged to double check that all their recorded time on their timesheets was indeed chargeable to us. And in the end, their costs were £7,360. So that was a £640 reduction on the £8,000 that I accrued 9 months or so to deal with this. Councillors will be excited now and near the end of the finance bit, and that is four lines more on this. And it is that the street lights have been paid for and the VAT reclaimed. And consequently, at the end of March, council had £239,000 in its bank account. You know, we had a number of about £400,000 for ages. We're now down at £239,000, of which £123,000 is held on behalf of others, which is essentially £60,000 in the neighbourhood still pop, much of which will go to pay for the neighbourhood plan, and £60,000 or so in the sinking fund for repair of our buildings, and a small amount of money that's held on behalf of the social fund and other such folk. So we have £239,000 in our bank. £123,000 of that is held on behalf of others. So actually council cash is £116,000. That's what real council cash was at the end of March, £116,000. And that was about 8.5 months' reserves. You remember that long conversation about reserves. We're 8.5. If we hadn't had these savings towards the end of the year, it would have been 7.5 months. And my only last sentence is that it's planned to hold the annual parish meeting on Thursday, May the 21st. So that's the annual parish meeting. Thank you for your patience and people might ask me questions. Receipts and payments, yes, I could, couldn't I? So on the receipts and payments, we start at the very top, it's going down. The substantial payments are JPP Landscapes, in my wages, which included my back pay all the way through to last April for the local government pay rise. The next substantial item is a transfer from the deposit account of £160,000, which is obviously an opposite to the deposit account down the bottom. There, those two big numbers, £100,000 and £54,000, are the payment for the streetlights, including VAT. And then the next substantial payment on there is Suffolk Tree Services, which was the final part of the emergency work authorised, including the VAT. That's why it looks a bit bigger than the final part that people might remember. That is receipts and payments. Yes.
Just a question. I saw that the hall had been embedded in Churchyard. Is that Richard Builders?
Yes, that is Richard Builders. Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Ian.
Any other questions, comments, councillors? You've done them in time.
I have, or something.
Right, in which case we have two motions. The first motion being to approve the accounts for the month ending 20th of February 2026. Would somebody
yes, I'll do.
Proposed by Councillor Bourne, seconded by Councillor Lamont. I'll start with you.
Yes.
Thank you. That was unanimous. And then a motion to approve the receipts and payments for the month ending 28th of February 2020.
Is everybody happy that the previous vote is recorded in duplicate? Going round again.
And you're happy for first proposal and seconder as well?
Cool.
Yeah. Excellent. That is the moment. So, the planning register.
I have one update to it before I hand planning over to Councillor Lamont. And my one update to it is that the application to... I've used the word revert. Is that really a verb? Anyway, the application to revert the space above the tea room at 6 Marketplace to residential use. That has been approved without, by Babel, without any condition being added. So they have approved it. You councillors may remember they suggested putting on a condition about that the residential use must be by and for the business owner. But we did. But actually, the applicant got unconditional permission.
Wow.
That came in the last few days, so that's why it's not on the list. That's the update.
Councillor Lamont.
Over to you.
Just love to project a little bit.
Yes, I can.
On the joint of it. Go right it. First application is 30 the High Street. Maintenance works of Treatment Conservation Area, which is this ash tree here. Removing the lower growth and branches down over the raised and crown ground level, so that's moving all the bits and pieces here. And raising the crown here, which seems to be going on the line. Our recommendation is approval. Anyone have any questions?
No,
let's approve it.
Yeah.
Well, shall we do a quick vote then? A proposal and a seconder. And seconded. Think you got that?
Proposal was me and the seconder was.
And the other two?
Yes.
Okay, one more.
The next one is discharge of conditions. So I put this is in the list because we've shown this previously. And we did vote on the application in a form for works to the gas terminal. This was one of the conditions in the approval about the flow of traffic loads and structures. And you can see the diagram I lifted out of the document show how the traffic arrives in these, and these are all construction buildings, car parking area.
I remind you, Councillor Lamont, we had passed a motion some months ago. Unless any particular councillor wants to talk about this discharge of conditions, then we don't.
Back up. We're not proposing it for discussion.
Okay.
Unless somebody wants to.
Anybody got a burning desire to discuss this?
No.
No, you can move on.
The next application is interface for electric vehicle charging points for 1 Baker's Mill. And the charging point is inside the garage, as Baker's Mill.
I recommend approval.
It doesn't have any effect on external appearance. This isn't on the inside walls, it's still in here as a corporate. Our suggestion is
approval.
So who would like to propose?
Yes, please.
Yes.
I know we're laughing, but there is a serious point here. I'm struggling to understand why. I'm really struggling. Why a poor householder has had to go through a planning application to stick something inside a garage. And I think that question needs to be put to the planners. Next.
Well, it was in the list, though. This next one is application for removal of various conditions following grants of planning permission. This was for an outbuilding on 24 paddocks. The outbuilding's there. Permission was granted for it. With the conditions to arrive at the drawings, which is what had been provided here.
Thank you.
So, a previous plan was like that, with pictures on each end of the roof, and no solar panels. This is changed with no pictures on the end of the roof, and solar panels. Weatherboarding here, this is weatherboarding, the original one, this is weatherboarding here. And this is bricks and flint here, bricks and flint here, so the materials are similar. The internal layout change, that doesn't really affect the appearance. So, it's not a conservation area. The reason that it's an application is because it's outside the built-up area boundary. So it's effectively in agriculture land, although I suspect in time it will be incorporated into the built-up area boundary.
I just want to propose a motion that we support it.
I support it very much, actually. I think that they've improved this application.
It looks better.
Yeah.
Right, so you want to propose?
I'll second it.
And seconded?
Yes.
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 Oh, that's quick.
The next application was for two solar
chips.
I don't know why it was in, but it may just confirm the fact that it's not applied. It's in the list. The next one is round north east of Road Land. So this, we've had a previous application. Which we approved back in 2003, and that was subsequent to an earlier application which we also approved in 1993. And in 1993, work was commenced on the site by building an entranceway and gate, which meant that the planning, because the work had started, that planning application was still valid. we subsequently approved a plan in 2023 by the Parish Council. And the latest plan, this is a site here, so it's the old police station, it's many years since there was a building there. The gate, the access gate has been created there on the hole in the wall, so that and a drop curve. You'll notice that the Parish Council bench is right in the way, so we will have to work out where we're going to put that. Because it can't stay there. These are the elevations. So that's the proposed elevations. It's now a single story building, whereas previously it was a two story building. And This is a profile of front elevation to show the original plan from 1993. It's high. The next one, room construction tree, is there, and the latest one is a lower building. So we've reduced the size of it. Obviously, they don't want it to be able to bung over. Maybe somebody don't want stairs to climb up or something. But that's a site plan showing a. This is a
I will propose that we support it.
I have questions about it.
So, anyone has some points to make? Yeah.
Can you go to the photograph of the gate and the seats, please? Thank you. Is my memory failing me, or am I correct that the reason those parish council assets were put there was to stop people parking on that pavement?
Correct, yeah.
So I'm concerned, once they're removed, I'm concerned for the new homeowner who might try to get out the gates one day and there will be a parked vehicle there.
Possibly.
It's something that's just, you know, the prospective homeowner needs to bear in mind that they might need to consider including in their application, i.e. as an add-on, something to stop people parking on the pavement there.
Well, couldn't they put pots out, you know?
They could put a sign on the gate saying this access.
It could be that, but that was my point.
It
was used as a car park, basically.
You're absolutely right, that's what it is. We put there, but obviously the gate is regular access.
Yeah, I guess.
There's a little low parking sign on the gate.
Any further comments?
I don't think that the pots will affect him anyway, because there's a post right in front of one of the pots.
Yeah.
So he'll still be able to get in and out. So it just needs the chair removed, and I don't think anybody will try and squeeze in there.
Oh, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
I prefer the pot actually up against the curb to prevent
Would it not be a good idea to move a bench instead of being so that it's going to be that relocated, which is obvious, and then you go if you put it the other side of the plants on the left hand side, nearer the back of the plant, so it'd be plenty of room for the chair. And it always sounds stop that damn great big van parking on that corner, half on the path and half on the road, and causing havoc to the cars coming along.
I'm sure we can put it somewhere strategically and suitable.
I was just going to make a comment that there is a broken bench on Tempest where the side is collapsed, and it could be a good idea to use this to fit in that location. I don't know if anybody...
I'm not against that, but I quite like Councillor Sherman's suggestion. Yeah. I wouldn't move that chair as yet. I would be looking at replacing the one on centrepiece anyway, and then remove the chair when the household or the landowner is ready to start building.
Okay, we move on, because this probably doesn't come into the system. We're very off topic. Right, we have a... So, you want to propose that we support this?
Yes.
Seconded? Second. Seconded. I'll start here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, thank you, councillors.
Right, the five applications we're having quite late after. Andy just a couple of days before Andrew produced the agenda, so there wasn't time for the planning group to discuss it. Some members of the planning group did go along to the site to have a look, because it's not clear from the application what was happening with the parking space and the walls associated with it. So I'll be able to comment on that. So we look at, we're talking about this car parking space at Creative Theatre, the back of number 5, Blaze Bar. Blaze House, the owner confirmed that they are also owners of bar as well. This is the current land registry plan, which shows that the current boundary of the barn is actually there. So this is the extension of the boundary out onto the stand here. Only about the width of the car parking space, or half the car parking space in front, there's a bush there. There is a slatted fence, wooden fence along these two, to this side here, adjacent to the Blaze House, and a wall across here, and here, which... that's not a picture of Blaze, yes, there's a better drawing here. So, that's existing. This is actually a panel, wooden panel fence, and wooden fence. And here, I think it's wooden panel and some edges and these bushes. So the new parking space builds a wall with brick pillars with panels in between. Another wall with brick pillars here and here. So there's a new wall created down there and here with brick pillars. The lower wall, brick pillars and panel raised panels along these sides. So this will be different. It will, instead of being a wooden slatted fence, it will be a brick pillar and panel fence. The boundary will be extended out to here. So this paved parking space will then be in the land registry as part of this in the future. It isn't at the moment. And there will be access granted to the barn here over this area of the drive here up to the top, that line. I'll say that's future. The applicant has not yet made any change to the boundaries, but that's part of the planning commission. So, strictly speaking, although the application is to Blaze Barn, part of the application is actually in the curtain to Blaze House. So, it is a little bit, probably got the order wrong, because I would have suggested you change the boundary. So you've not actually got this sort of mixed application party in two properties. That's just the comment from the observation when we visited the site and the documentation. So as I said, the owner did say that he was going to do that, and the intention, I think, is that this property would be sold at some point in the future as a separate.
If that was my property, I would not be changing the land registry, because if he got refused, he'd have spent an absolute fortune doing the land registry, and he then wouldn't have the planning permission, so he'd have a piece of land he could do absolutely nothing with. He'd lost it from one house, spent a fortune, and he got it refused.
Any other comments? Following on from that, what I'm confused about is, to the plan, are the planners aware from the application that the actual application refers to two different properties, and one is the Grade 2 star listed and one is not? I'm just not clear, because it's a very messy application.
I don't know, it's not that clear in the application.
Yeah.
Although when you look at the line registry part, it is quite
clear. Yeah, that's clear, I do agree with that. Yeah. Having said that, I see no harm at all in creating a parking space dedicated to a dwelling that currently does not have a dedicated parking space. So I support the application.
Anybody else want to make any further comment, or do councillors want to go to a vote? I think we're going to a vote. So the vote is to support the plan application proposal.
I'll propose it.
And seconded?
Can you second it?
Oh, I've got a rash. I'll go with my question.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sorry.
Gentlemen, two yeses, yes. Yes. Right, and I think that concludes planning. Thank you very much, Ian. So we will now go on to London Neighbourhood Plan report, 10 minutes of the last meeting.
I don't think it's too much to go into reports, research, actually, and all the working papers. A few points that have come up. We have completed DSER survey at a cost of £2,000, which was completely the same as per asked by the council. We will report on that next month because we received it a couple of days ago and our meeting isn't until after the parish council meeting, so it's still a single document and we haven't discussed it. We'd like to thank Paul Clover because I stumbled across this loan from the council before it went to committee. And I told Andrew about it, and he said he hadn't heard anything about it. But there were certain things we had to do now to be in line for this money, which we should have done. And part of it was that we had to have support from a district councillor. We emailed Paul, and he's kindly supported us on. So once the joint plan comes out for this part, yeah, and if we know these actions, we will be able to apply for money. It's a maximum of £20,000. I don't think there's any chance of anybody getting £20,000 because there's only £140,000 in the pot at the moment for the whole of Suffolk. So I can't see anybody doing that. But if one of those deciding factors is we made a very, very shrewd decision. Because if you're not paying for it by civil, you're excluded from the grant. As we're paying, we're in. Please don't. I didn't make the rules. I'm going to tell you what
I'm pleased we did what we did.
Also, while we were doing this, again, we went to Clark and Andrew. We stumbled across a planning tool, which was a lot better than the one that the council were actually using. We personally wanted to have it for our profession. I believe, Andrew, for about £180 a year.
So, yeah, the tool that places people want to help or needed to help you folk work with to do the neighbourhood plan is, as you say, about £180 a year, which is exactly what we were paying for the tool that we did have, which is rubbish in comparison, so therefore we've abandoned the tool that we did have.
So no, the council have taken it, it cost the council nothing,
and it's keeping Ian happy.
Yes, if I took the language, it actually came from Reason. It wasn't the answer. Neutral is a normal partner.
As the parish council will know, we had two drop-in events this week. One on Sunday in this room, and one last night in the guild hall, which here we had just over 70 people on Sunday, and we had just over 50 people last night. And as far as the questionnaires at the moment, we're running at very slightly over 300 returned questionnaires that are now entered on the computer. There are quite a few more that people have said from the drop-in event that will be sending in questionnaires. So we're we might be being a bit too optimistic here, but we're looking to try and get 50%, whether we can get that amount of money, and that's where we're aiming. If we get 50% of the population, and I'll throw one other thing in, which a member of the public asked me today, and I'm afraid I had to turn around and say I don't know the answer, I would get back to him. There's the fact that he wanted to know if there was any way that we were stopping people in Australia Living is a bit much, but I only go from outside of the area, filling in that questionnaire. I don't think anybody outside the area would be stupid enough to want to fill it in.
Or
every one of our questionnaires go to people's places, and he studies and checks the IP addresses that, and he gets. Don't ask me how he does it, but he can tell us that there are ones coming from miles out of the area. How he does that?
But will he be able to tell if it's an IP address from Cockfield, for example?
Yeah, he says he can check, so I'd have to bow to his knowledge, and anybody's got any knowledge of computers, because it's a well-known fact. Last year I bought a laptop, and it still sits in the drawer at home, because I don't even know how to turn the bloody thing off. So, we will answer them that, and other than that, it's been a very, very busy month, so I'm hoping that the steering group will do what I said and shut down for the whole of Easter, because every one of them has been on the phone and on the computer every day for the last couple of weeks, and everybody has served straight at Easter. So that will go out to them tomorrow. I think we're very happy with progress and quite happy to answer any questions you've got with the day.
Councillor Mont indicated you wanted to ask something?
Yeah, I just want clarification, Councillor Sherman. You referred to the pot of money for Suffolk. Is it Suffolk or for Baber?
No, it's Baber,
So you made a mistake, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's £140,000 for Baber.
Yes.
It's a long time since I've looked, but do you know how many neighbourhood development plans are actually in the in process right now?
No.
Yeah, because it may be that there's only seven.
I don't know.
I haven't looked recently, so I don't know.
Councillor Mitchell, I went to the basically Baber meets Parish Clerks meeting last week, and I think it's important to say that this is all very fluid. What's said one moment may not be the same as said the next week, so that's quite important to say. But I got the impression that how Baber were intending to play this was, and it is some of it's contrary to what you said, so I'm saying it's fluid, is that this money is designed to help a parish council which otherwise has no way of paying the consultants that it needs. It doesn't have neighbourhoods bill. It's, they set the precept, you know, a while ago, not anticipating this. It may be small. It simply doesn't have the resources to pay the consultants. So to answer your questions may well be to get new neighbourhood plans going that aren't currently possible. Look, that was just the guidance that I got from we'll see how it emerges, but yes.
We didn't have benefit of that information before.
I went to this meeting and they said, we're going to send the slides out immediately afterwards. Have I got them yet? No, I haven't. So, you know, when must I get them?
I did get them. You have got them, yeah. I'll send them to you. Jake, I'd like to say one very quickly. My understanding is that quite a lot of parishes are looking at neighbourhood plans because of the requirement for 1.5 million houses. So there's quite a lot of activity.
I would imagine there would be. Anybody else?
So just two things. So first of all, just to close up on this one. So basically, ironically, out of this apparent £20,000 per council, we are unlikely to get in. Is that correct?
With what Andy just said, I'm not probably intending to have to agree, but we didn't have that information until 30 minutes ago. It was looking as we were going to get some of it.
And it moves every,
I mean, it's like every council, it could be a different thing tomorrow.
If there is an opportunity to bid for funds,
places for people are following it and they're on everything for it. The museum actually advised me that the committee meeting was the next day.
Okay, so second point, can I thank you for your saying to your colleagues about declarations of interest? I think the only point is, first of all, I was a bit
surprised by the comment at the top of the need for declarations of interest by Moses being called for by a parish councillor. I guess that's me. Authority to be clarified. I think we do appreciate, don't we, that the reason why you're being asked to do this is because it's in the code of conduct and the council's constitution. So, you know, it's not my saying you need to be done, it's the organisation's saying you need to be done.
I would be encouraging you when I didn't come into it at any time and work.
I don't mind.
No, I don't mind, but I just asked him to fill it in. So Alison and Jack, that we didn't need a subject of interest from them because we've already got one from the parish council, which I believe will cover it. Andrew, is that correct?
Yes.
So the three of us don't have to. I've got three more back already. I think I'm waiting for one because the others don't have any interest to. Hopefully by the end of next week, after our meeting, I will be able to advise the draft and the matter will then be filed away under.
No, I don't think you can file it away. Because every time you meet, you need to address the question about whether you have declarations of interest, because they arise sometimes out of something that people have not foreseen at all. Every meeting of this body, the first item, so the second item on the agenda is declarations of interest, and on that occasion, it's open to us to be able to tell the staff that there's something that's happened, and that you now realise you have a declaration of interest. So it's not a one-off exercise, it's an ongoing activity.
It would sound like we need to add it to our agenda.
Yeah.
I just wondered, Michael, in light of the decision by government that there will be three unitaries and rather than a single council for Suffolk, has the LNP group considered or had an opportunity to think about what the implications might be for the timetable? Because we now have, you know, relatively firm dates for when things are going to happen and when the transition is going to start.
We were hoping and praying before this unitary council was announced that we would be able to go to examination within 18 months. We don't know now what we have because we haven't had a meeting since it was true. We've got a meeting Tuesday.
So that's the late 2027 you'd be looking at.
That's what we were looking at. What the unitary council.
And that would be in the transition stage.
Yeah.
Okay. That
might not even be, you know, with the unitary council, I think. Other than the rest of us don't know what the unitary council is going to be. It might be 10 times better, it might be 100 times worse.
I think we're in the realms of speculating here and it doesn't add anything to the debate. Has got anything
Can I just ask a question that just simply didn't understand? The last paragraph on the note is about phasing of development and infrastructure delivery. I just didn't understand what that was about and the moment you clarified that.
Yeah, he's through this loan of love, you can call it a loan, this grant of £20,000. One of the stipulations is we have to supply a building schedule on what lands will be coming in. That's what that refers to. We've got to keep in touch with it and get our building and where we're going to build, where we're not going to build, but until maybe you can do a desktop. Survey of the land. At the moment, I don't know, you probably haven't got anything else yet for the government, the shout, the new that hasn't even been
I'd agree with Councillor Sherwood, it's all very confusing, and the same, at least you've now got the slides, which I would like to hear, which you'll forward on, because all I heard was written verbally, which is, the thing you're trying to say, if you want a grant, then actually you're going to have already, as the tech, offered up some sites. Yeah. Well, it all seems slightly topsy-turvy to me. Well, you know, you won't give me the money to do the survey and to help me build my plan until I've told you which sites. Well,
it's hiddly-diddly at the moment.
Yeah. Because that would be fair. Okay. Here's your summary of the situation.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next agenda item, which is regards to volunteering and non-endorsement of private business.
Thank you, Chair. Councillors, this proposal is about clearing up misconceptions about the role and the responsibilities of parish councils and councillors. The March meeting, already noted by the Chair, is a clear example of why it's necessary for council to state unequivocally what it cannot do and what councillors should not do, to ensure that at all times both act in accordance with the Nolan principles. It's worth noting here that these principles are widely used throughout the public sector. Every council, including government departments and schools and the NHS, all use those principles as the foundation for the code of conduct. So we are not unusual. Now, firstly, at the March meeting, the Chair confirmed that the Council does not have a role in receiving reports from private businesses. This is to avoid perceptions that the Council promotes or endorses any particular business, i.e. one above the other. And yes, policies of this nature have been adopted elsewhere, to answer the question put by a member of the public. Secondly, volunteering is a major contributor to the success of Lavenham. Sometimes voluntary groups find recruitment difficult and they make a public appeal for assistance during public time at council meetings. Now, this is a good thing to do because it gives added attention to the group and its needs. But it's important that finding volunteers is not perceived as a formal responsibility of the council. To ensure this, it is proposed that councillors who wish to volunteer should only do so in their personal capacity. And that fundamentally means having a word with the person that is seeking volunteers outside of the council meeting. Thirdly, in the past few months, during the council meeting, a councillor made a personal offer to a voluntary group. This offer involved the use of his own resources. Sometime later, this gesture was misinterpreted by a planning applicant in an appeal to the planning inspector, which concerned pedestrian access to the same private resource offered by the councillor from this table. This misinterpretation was that the parish council had endorsed the use of the private resource for a community event, and therefore we had deemed access to it as suitable. Fortunately, the parish council was alert to this, and we clarified this misinterpretation with the planning inspector. This example is given to demonstrate to the council and to the public why it's critical that councillors completely separate the public and the private identities during council meetings. The public will draw their own conclusions about whether the initial offer to the voluntary group was selfless, in line with the Nolan principles. But thanks go to a member of the public for placing this particular council agenda item on social media in the last few days. But he also expressed his disappointment with it. So I hope that he will now explain through that same forum the reasons for this policy proposal. Finally, by adopting and putting into practice this very simple policy, council and councillors will avoid the risk of non-compliance with the Nolan principles. Thank you.
Yes? Forgive me if I misinterpreted what you were saying in your paper, but are you saying, or is your proponent saying, that we can't volunteer for people, or that we can't volunteer from this table?
Can't volunteer from this table.
So, if Paul Crowley was a member of the public and he said he needs someone to help clean his back garden now. You know, we're talking actually rubbish at the cows. I couldn't turn around and say, Paul, I'll come and give you a hand on Saturday here. But once we're outside that door, I can come and take you.
I get that, because also there's a risk that if somebody, it could be that somebody volunteers for something in a performative way rather than like a genuine, I'm really interested in that. So, like I said at the beginning, it's not just about doing the right thing, it's about being seen to do the right thing. Right. So if you do that, you know, rub and draw, if you do that privately to one side, it stops there from being any accusation.
Yeah, I've got the gist of while I was there, but while I was reading, I was thinking, is this a little bit heavy?
It's absolutely not to stop councillors volunteering wherever they want to volunteer, but not doing it from this table. I'll give you another example. I mean, obviously, Ted, do you mind if I go on? I'll give you another example. There is a well-respected voluntary organisation in this village, very well-respected. Mm-hmm. And over the past few months, it has become known to me, certainly, and I think other councillors, that this organisation is desperately seeking new volunteers. Mm-hmm. And at one stage, it was actually put to me that it's our responsibility to find volunteers for them. Now, that is incorrect. That absolutely is incorrect. You know, organisations spring up all the time. Sometimes the parish council in the past and in the present will facilitate and encourage people to set up groups. But we don't own them, we don't own the constitution, we have nothing to do with it. I'm very happy. I volunteer all the time for things. I volunteered at the church earlier this year, but I didn't do it from this table.
That
is the distinction.
Also,
there might be times when somebody's elected to be a representative of the council.
That's not the same thing,
is
that?
That's
all I was concerned about is when we're doing things in the community, whether we could still do it. I'm personally clear now that I can't do it from here, but I can do it from out there.
I'm just going to Chris first.
I'm pleased to see that you have now acknowledged the Nolan principles and not Lord Diblock, which is good.
Both are very valid.
I still maintain I have my right to speak under Diblock.
I think that you are trying to undermine the councillors here. I think councillors are very aware.
That's my opinion.
Exactly, and you can voice your opinion under Diblock.
And also that I think that we need to spend some time maybe with Acton Parish Council, because they did something last weekend, and most of the parish councillors were out helping, and they were actually organised by the parish councils, and they were able to pick in. And I think that's as volunteers, because that's what we are volunteers, we're nothing more, nothing less.
We are volunteer councillors.
Okay, volunteer councillors, but we're still volunteers, and we should be out there, and Baba even promotes it if we'd only register with their volunteering scheme. Baba supports it.
We've had this conversation before, haven't we?
We have.
Anyway, your comments are noted, I'm going to move on to the next.
Can I say something?
I'm going to go here.
Yeah, just only answering the question that was raised earlier in the meeting. I've worked in the public sector for a long time, and I've come to understand these rules, and I genuinely follow them. I've also met people in the private sector who simply don't understand and don't, and more than that, actually criticise the rules as getting in the way of getting things done. And I very much appreciate where they are coming from. Unfortunately, in the public sector, there are requirements to be seen to be not dealing with things that affect your own personal interests. And that isn't a consideration at all in many cases in private sector, where one organisation is dealing with another or an individual is dealing with another. All I would ask people who aren't in the public sector, as it were, to bear with us in the public sector. You would actually criticise us quite significantly if we didn't follow these rules. problems, and you then felt that we had done something that was simply for our own personal benefit rather than the benefit of the community.
Thank you. Jackie. Well, when I first read, and this is probably going to seem completely irrelevant now because everybody else has spoken, but when I first read your report, I thought, it's a bit harsh, a bit heavy-handed and stern, but I've been doing some research today and I actually looked at Long Melford's voluntary policy and what Irene had written with probably some more pointed explanation was the same as what Long Melford's volunteering policy is, which came off the Local Government Association website. Their policy did. So, using the same terms and everything, even in the same order.
Well, do you know what? That's interesting, because I actually didn't look at that.
Even in the same order, Irene. So, that was where I was going to come with this, and I wrote a little piece to try and explain to everybody, because I'm a woman, really, of few words, and try to put everything as simply as I can, because I can't be doing with fluffing around. So this was how I put it. If you can volunteer for any organisation of village in your capacity as a resident, you must not use your position as a councillor, and you must declare your involvement should there be a possibility of a conflict of interest. If an organisation requests that a parish council be involved in their organisation, in the official capacity, the organisation should write to the clerk and the parish council will elect a councillor to be their representative at the organisation. If a councillor wishes to speak on behalf of the organisation in their capacity as a volunteer, it will have to be done in the public participation section on the monthly agenda. Was that simple enough?
That's very clear. Anybody who hasn't already spoken on this want to say anything?
No.
Christy, do you want to say something else?
No, I don't. I just think that we should be working together, and we should, all of us should go out, litter pick, do bits and pieces, and promote volunteering. It would keep the precept down, it would keep the village happy, and Faber does support it. I get what you're saying. Yes, if somebody says you mustn't promote it as the parish council, if somebody asks you, but it just
I
seems...
I think you're getting confused. I don't see why there is any reason you couldn't stand and say, I would like, as the parish council, to organise a litter pick.
I did, and I cleaned streets, and I was...
No, you went off and done it on your own.
Correct.
What I'm saying is, why don't you sit and do a call to the general public and say, let's organise a litter pick, which is what all the other villages did.
I did, in Janice, I have to say this now because it's making me a little bit upset.
I don't understand why.
I started it and then I was called into the parish office and I was told to stop the volunteering.
No, you weren't.
I was. You said, no, you please weren't. Will you stop the volunteering because you're making the rest of the parish councillors look bad.
No, we didn't. It? That is absolutely outrageous that you have said
no.
That. And I think we should just stop that there. I don't want to hear that again. Thank you. So, we have a motion, which is to approve, where is it? Parish Council, the motion is that the Parish Council adopts the non-endorsement of private businesses policy as set out above. Was there a thing
I think
needs to be worded?
Yeah, it does.
But, so,
there's an amendment that needs to be made to it, because this started off as purely non-endorsement of private business, and then I thought that would probably be about, and then I ran
so
out of time.
So, before we go any further, are you wanting to make an amendment?
Yeah, it should be, the motion should be amended to read the title at the top. The Parish Council adopts, and then it's the full one.
So, I'm going to have a look again.
Right to the very top, Ian.
Mm-hmm.
Councillor volunteering and non-endorsement.
So you want to add that into the motion. So the motion is that the council adopts the volunteering, councillor volunteering and non-endorsement of private business policy to set out. Right. So that's your amendment. Does somebody want to, it's being proposed? Does somebody
just can you read that to me again and hear that? What you think? Sorry.
I haven't got it in front of me.
So the motion is the council.
The motion would change. This is to amend it so it reads: the parish council adopts
the, then we go right to the top, please, adopt the council volunteering and non-endorsement of private businesses policy. What essentially happened here, I am
we're going to put an amendment. Would you like to second that amendment? Set it there and we will vote on the amendment. Yes.
It is to amend it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Michael, this is to amend the motion so that the motion actually reads as the same as the title of the policy. Currently, it says non-endorsement of private businesses policy, but Irene changed the name of her policy.
It can include councillor volunteering.
So this is to amend the motion.
Yes, thanks.
Now it's to vote on that motion.
So, your proposer?
Yes.
Seconded? And
yes.
Jack? Yes.
Yes.
I've said yes already.
Same.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, councillors. We're going to go on to the next.
No,
no, no,
I know.
No,
I realise.
Motion concerning comms policy.
So, Ian, could you go to the header? Thank you.
Jack, through it. Should be back in the tick packet.
Three policies are for review this month. The first is the comms policy, and there's a horrendous typo right in the front there. This was approved by the council in April 24, that says, with a review date of April 24. No, it was approved in council in April 24 with a review date of April 2026, wasn't it?
Nobody noticed. No.
I saw that this evening was a hard sun. We wrote a communications policy 2 years ago. I'm proposing no changes to it. None whatsoever. I've had a read through it and I can't think where it needs changing, and councillors have the opportunity to. The next one is an expenses policy. We introduced it, as it says there, in June 2022. It's a perfectly sensible policy about when council employees can claim expenses. It's a very sensible policy, but there are two weird things about it. The first is that actually it appears never to have been formally adopted. That's thing one, that's a bit weird. Thing two is actually, as councillors know, there's only one employee, and this little employee has never claimed any expenses other than things like I bought 5 reams of photocopier paper and I managed to charge it to my personal credit card rather than the council's one.
That works for us, I don't know what the problem is.
So I've never actually claimed for, say, mileage or food or all of these other things that it might be. But it's a perfectly sensible policy. And there are no changes proposed to it except to including the amounts payable, except that the last one was very clearly a template policy that hadn't been tailored. The NAMP logos were still all over it, that sort of thing. So, that's expenses. Privacy.
Can we go on? Can I just check that the expenses policy actually applies to all of us?
No, it very clearly doesn't.
Ah,
no, right. It says in the middle of it, sorry, it does not apply to you.
You personally.
No.
Well,
you're not allowed to claim expenses. That's what it means.
Yes.
You are not allowed to claim expenses. So that's expenses. Privacy is a little bit similar. We introduced a policy 3 years back. We don't seem to have ever actually formally adopted it. There are no changes on there except updates, email addresses. This is the policy. It is important we have. It's about keeping people's data confidential. And it's also about making clear that people can do data subject access requests and things like that. Cheers. Those are my three comments. Thank you.
Okay.
I think we've all had this mulled up to rest through the all of the working papers. I'd like to put a motion forward we go for a done on it.
Yes, good thing.
So, did any councillor want to have make a comment about any one of those three comments? Because if everybody's sort of happy that we just keep going, what I would propose that we do is to do a vote and have the same proposal and seconder, the same as we did for the financial So, goes there for the three.
I'll second.
I'm going with you. Second, the board, and I'll start with an audible vote. Yes.
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 Oh, three audible votes. Look. Right.
What's 10 minutes to go.
Sorry.
I'll take
that off while. I'm sure I have a reservation for writing on the papers. I've managed to get this into one page, so I feel quite a chance to look at it. I'm sorry that Paul Clover has just left, because I haven't actually mentioned him in this report. And Paul has been trying to get some movement out of the current cost operating. I have to say that, but I'm sure he hasn't actually managed to achieve anything yet. I think they're not being very effective. What you saw in Robert Lindsay's report, first thing that I heard this evening, was a new bus service that's going to start up in Gurdaston, or through Gurdaston, in next month, or whatever it is now. And that's out of this new pot of money. And if this pot of money goes on for 3 years, I think we ought to try and get our share of it, basically. And what I'm proposing is that, because I don't think anyone's got not going to go unique view, and you know, nobody else has got anything else to that they can add to it, that we ask the car to advertise that we're going to submit a bid for money, and we invite people to let them know where they think the bus service is, and that's not just the actual, when the bus comes along, it could be the bus stops, it could be the information boards, it could be anything associated with bus services. What people would like to see improve that will actually make the bus services more attractive and more useful to people in our community. And all we'd ask is that they tell us when they come back to us in writing, whether they live or work in Adam, because that's interesting from the point of view of providing services to people, and if they don't do either of those things, where they do live. And again, that gives us an idea of, you know, where people are talking about things from and how that might affect any proposals we put together. So the motion is there in front of you. I don't think it's difficult. What I'm hoping that we can do is get people to come up with some ideas in the next 4 weeks. And that will give us a chance to, because we have 6 weeks now before the next meeting of this council, and hopefully to bring something to that meeting that will be the basis of a bid to the fund, and that will be the start of our process trying to get money out of the county council or its businesses to improve our bus services.
Just a bit of information. When we first got, when we made the first bid to improve the bus service, I worked very closely with a councillor in Sudbury Town Council, because the bus service at that time only went from Sudbury to Bury and Bury back to Sudbury. And what was fascinating was because he handled all the marketing of the public engagement bit, I prepared the bid. And what we found was, actually, there was lots of people in the villages on the route, like Great Waldenfield, up as far as the one that where the bus goes off Stanningfield, who are, you know, piling in comments to this councillor saying, really, get this bus service improved, because I live in Stanningfield, for example, and it means I can get a job in Bury. So I do think that we should, perhaps let Sudbury Town Council know we're doing this, and maybe reconduct that exercise as well. Although I do appreciate, Roy, that what you're trying to do here is see about improvements for Lavenham, and because I definitely feel that we can be doing with better bus stops, certainly better information, i.e. help us the information was up to date, and perhaps another one bus stop on the High Street. That's been requested by the public on more than one occasion.
Mm.
So, is what you're envisaging, Roy, that councillors initially would contact you within the next...
Well, anybody, I think we're asking councillors, members of the public, and we're asking if anyone who has an interest or would like to be best served by the buses that run through London.
Mm. Right.
Well, that will be perfect if that's the next issue, then let's raise it. I could raise an issue about the time when the bus has gone two minutes, doing this earlier, four minutes before it should have gone. So are you going to use with Clark to do something together?
Something short and snappy. Excellent. Right.
Just a question in relation to service information. There's a couple of things part of it. I don't know enough about it, but some bus services have a moving map, as you can see that for the buses.
I don't know if these buses do. Yeah, there's an app and you can watch where you can see where the bus is.
The other thing is the bus stop information board.
Did you say Chambers? It was Chambers. I can't remember what it's called now. But anyway, whatever it was, there's an app and you can...
They've got Connect on the mail and that's just been sold.
Yeah, whatever it is, the, when you update it, the name of the app changes. But yeah, it's just
information about that since they have it before. Well, when the new bus service came in, or the updated bus service,
they had an event and there was a lot of publicity around about that. But of course, with, because of the churn in residents, then maybe a lot of people don't know.
Having got my free bus pass, I then went to you for a 9:30 in the morning bus and was told that it's not valid. I thought, oh, you were too early. So, but I mean, it's a serious point here. There are obviously restrictions on this.
So does anybody have any further comments?
It's one little comment, but I want to just draw attention because it's really for the public's benefit. We only had to bid once. The following year, the bus service was enhanced again without us asking. And what I have observed as I'm driving past the bus stop each time is there are more people waiting at the bus stop and getting on the buses. It is working. People are using the buses.
That's because of fuel prices.
Whatever it is, people are using the buses.
Well, it might be a good idea to get some passenger numbers from the bus company, whatever it is called at that particular time. So the motion is that the clerk is instructed to advertise an invitation to people living in or near to Lavenham or working to send him by letter or email no later than 5th April this year their ideas for improving local bus services, and they are invited to or asked to say whether they live or work in it. Or you can read it on there. Anyway, that's the motion. I'm assuming you're proposing it. And seconded by Professor Sherman and I'm sorry.
Yes.
We move on to the potential moving of First Meadow Gate.
Sure, this is for me to present. Ian, could you move back to that?
Right,
so in late 2025, a number of councillors ranked moving the pedestrian gate on First Meadow as a priority. That's a fact. It's also a fact that support was not obtained at that time for the associated project of building a crossing across the Brentini Road, and that didn't attract such support. The existing gate is considered in a dangerous position for users of the First Meadow, because it's on a three-way corner, not that it purports to be the start of the public right of way, but actually it isn't. The public right of way is actually 55 metres or so down the road. Council voted in December when they set the budget that £33,000 for the budget of the neighbourhood plan be charged to neighbours. So this sets out, well, we've had £63,000 neighbourhood bill a year ago. We bought a street light. We've spent some money on the neighbourhood plan to the end of February, and of course we've then got the remaining amount to take it back up to the £33,000. So we have £25,000 of unspent still. That's the financial side of it. The much more human-based side of it is that I've recently been in touch with Suffolk Pro and Highways. Suffolk Pro, or they will respond to me shortly concerning the chicane or similar arrangement which needs to be built to enable safe use of the new entry point as the gate is acceptable. I think most people looking at the space have got this idea that when we move it 55 metres down the road, if we were to move it, we can't simply put a gate 55 metres away from where the current gate is, because that's an illegal blocking off of a private of a public right of way. You can only have a gate on a public right of way if sheep and things are walking around. There are no sheep in the appropriate place, so we can't have a gate. We can't have a gate. So Pro are the people to tell you what sort of fencing arrangement you need, so that, you know, kids can't ride their bikes at enormous speed straight out of the field across the road. So the highways have been asked what will be needed to construct and to enable safe access to this proposed new entrance from the pavement on the other side of Brentley Road. So this is, if you cross Brentley Road to this new entrance, which we can't call a gate because it isn't a gate, what exactly are you going to need to, you know, currently cross the grass verge, for instance, that there? It's a mounded heap of grass. So what actually needs building on that side of the First Meadow side of Brentley Road next to this opening? So the aim is to bring a costing proposal to help the council to consider in the light of the £25,000, saying, well, if you wanted to have this sort of thing that we can't call a gate but colloquially is a gate, and the pavement works so that, you know, people with wheelchairs and other things can actually use this thing that we can't call a gate, this will cost you this much, I would say. As councillors, you'll consider that and decide whether that's what you want to do. And then what I'm trying to say here is that there is £25,000, so that's the sort of sum for you to consider it, and other projects which received significant council support back then, last autumn when we discussed this, were tree works, did receive some support, but actually at the budget meeting, councillors were very clear they didn't want to spend still money on maintaining trees. That was one of the big budget decisions, no still money for maintaining trees. That was the end of that one. And the additional series, White Entry, Village Entry Gatesman, was quite a bit of support for them. And then the last thing that came up was additional or replacement player equipment, which I should say, actually, player equipment is one of the things that actually you can get government grants for. So, lots of words to say. I've gone off. I'm trying to get the numbers. That will give you some clues, I promise, of, you know, clues as to how, you know, to weigh it all up, and then you can consider also, actually, has that used all of the money, or actually, it hasn't used all the money, but it's just too expensive for what it is, and I'd prefer to spend it here. Those sorts of conversations.
Can I just say that the main internet cable runs right down there, and when White Road did their house up, they not only punched it at once, they punched it at 15 times. Mm-hmm. And it was the high-speed internet cable. But they didn't have to pay for it, because BT acknowledged that there was no documentary evidence of where it is, and I'm not sure whether it continues or it deviates and goes to the old post office building, or whether it continues, but it is just below the surface.
Just below the surface, opposite by Glenholm, is the high speed internet.
Goes all the way along Brent Ely Road in the grass verge. So he put his fence up, and every fence post punched it, every single fence post. Luckily, it was the internet going out of the village, so the only thing that was cut off was the studios and myself. So just to bear up, it's a story, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not clear when it runs, whether it's by First Meadow or whether it's on the other side of the road.
Correct.
The location is particularly relevant to this
conversation.
I think you just need to, while you're pricing it, just speak to BT and say where is it and how much will it cost to move it if we have to move it.
Following on from that, I don't think it'll be an impact if it's simply an access point. I'm not going to call it a gate. But I do know from, I can't think of the guy's name or his job title, but a works type person in Vega, that inside First Meadow, so the other side of the fence, I think it is, and I don't think it's that deep, is the main drain.
I have had that drain up because it did flood and we got the tanker out. This was many years ago. I got the tanker out to try and pump water out of the top drain. And as I remember, that was about 15 to 16 foot deep.
Oh, well, it is quite good
deep. Yes, so I think the drain is okay, but the internet cable may be very shallow to the ground.
Yeah,
it definitely is a Glen home.
The intended for Glen Inverness, another thing to consider is it might turn out to be quite an expensive.
It's a big cable as well.
It might turn out to be quite expensive because they may insist on us having a drop curb with tactiles or something on each side of the road.
Is it properly documented now that, no, it's not. So you'd have to speak to BT.
But that's what the work stuff
up. Yeah, that's the responsibility.
Your overreach, sorry.
I've got a couple of others. One was, are there any commitments for any states still that are not listed on there?
No.
I'm thinking we're talking about putting in new ramp posts up, which could be £2,000 or £3,000, which is the same amount of maple stuff.
We're not committed to that one.
Because you probably have to get payment for cable if you're moving in more. First one. Second one is, could we claim a still project for this, so we only have to fund a quarter of the expenditure? So it could be that if it comes out £20,000, we need to buy 25.
We could ask that question.
The answer is we might be able to turn it into a good project. The difficulty is that takes a year to run its way through the system. Green Willows is absolutely blooming market. And we need to use our still in the next 2 or 3 years. So actually, we do need to get on with stuff.
Yeah, I think the point there was that you mentioned Green Willows is they ended up funding it all in the end. And it could be, approaching this, it's a very similar project, it could well be.
The point I'm making here is that actually we do need to use this or we will lose it.
Yeah.
Clear, I think it's unlikely that we will get another pot of money out of the local, I think it's called the Local Cycling Walking Implementation Plan. That's where the money came from for Green Willows. And we were jolly lucky to get it because when that plan was announced and councils were invited to put forward schemes, this council put forward nothing. Now, I wasn't on the council at the time, but I just noticed from the Labour officer that this council just didn't respond to it. I think it's, given the amount of money we had, I think it's unlikely we'll get any more because the other councils had schemes already lodged before the fund was set up. That's just my opinion. Can I go back to the issue of the gate or the entrance? I think the issue is Ian's hit on something, but perhaps there is a Baber or fund, or dare I even mention a Suffolk fund, I don't know, that addresses health and safety particularly, or safeguarding of the public. I have this week witnessed a couple parking up in the common and getting out of a car with 6 little kids and crossing the road. Now, admittedly, the road was closed because of the drainage works. But these little kids were wandering around in the middle of the road, mum and dad screaming, stop, wait, stop, wait. That corner gate is an absolute accident waiting to happen. it really is. Just because, well, you know, Water Street was closed, didn't you see Brent Ely was closed, or Lower Road was closed. And, you know, that is just what I witnessed. Now, it seems to me that the issue here about whether we can have a gate or not is where the public right-of-way starts. Let's not put the gate near the public right-of-way. If the people that use a public right-of-way are really so intent on walking the appropriate public right-of-way, they will simply go through the gate and then start on the path. The new entrance does not need to be opposite or right at where the public right-of-way starts. It could just be a few yards down. It's that corner that is the pinch point that it is really dreadful, because it's wide. And despite the fact that there's a free public car park in Water Street, people park on the common, so I see it all the time. Kids come wandering down either, you know, from the village with their pins, but little kids do what little kids do. They want to run ahead. They get to the edge of the pavement, and I hear parents constantly saying, stop, and then others will park in the car, you know, in the common, where admittedly they shouldn't, but they do. And one day I know I'm going to see it.
I think we all agree that it's so dangerous.
Can we not just have the gate opposite, for example, where the lane comes out?
I think we'll be taking advice on where it's appropriate, because it'll probably, they'll want to not have it. I'm sure there's rules about waiving all these things.
Can I just correct, Councillor, because Prow can make you put the gate where the public right-of-way is, because the public right-of-way is in the wrong place. And they can
We are currently illegally blocking a public right of way.
Well, yes.
Because the fence is blocking.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Can I say that 10 years ago we did actually seek quotes to have an entrance, because I'm not allowed to call it a gate, in that fence line. It was quoted for by two contractors. They went with a different contractor, and it wasn't actually delivered at what the original tender was, which was to put a gate in halfway down.
So that it's put in the wrong place.
It's put in the wrong place. It changed because it was alleged as too expensive.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else, or can we move on to the next item? Because I'm mindful of the time, it's 11 minutes past, and we need to finish it half past. Nothing further? Yeah, well, not look at that. That's wrong. It's fallen over now anyway, hasn't it?
Not that problem gone then.
I'd like to move on to the next agenda item, unless anybody agrees otherwise. No? So the next agenda is a report concerning First Meadow Boundary. No, there's one more item after that.
Background. At our meeting in March, we voted that I make an offer to the owners of the poultry farm. That the clerk is instructed to offer to share the cost of drawing up a formal boundary agreement with the local property owner, and that formal boundary agreement would then be registered with the land registry. The boundary agreement would be brought back to council for formal approval, and that in exchange for the parish council's cooperation concerning this matter, the local property owner recognises that the maintenance of that fence between First Meadow and their property would be the responsibility of the owner of the poultry farm. The update is the landlord owner has rejected this offer. The next part of it is that the landowner isn't prepared to accept any maintenance obligation for the fence. They don't want to pay for the maintenance of the fence at all. And they're not prepared to make any contribution whatsoever to the cost of obtaining the professional assistance, surveyors and lawyers, to prepare and document the agreement. The landowner's position remains that they're willing to sign a document drafted using a template obtained from the internet, and this is what I previously described in council working papers as an informal agreement, because lawyers and solicitors wouldn't be involved. But I have to admit that at 9:30 tonight, and people will remember the last meeting was quite difficult, I didn't make it clear to people that the landowner, as said here, willing to sign document, using template, no involvement in lawyers, but would be lodged at the land registry. I failed to make that point as clear as I would have liked. Okay? That's what that says.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still, the landowner, to be fair, hasn't changed their position. There are then, I then obtained sense the links to the detailed government advice in this area. And then the last bit is, the landowner wrote, my proposal to retrieve the boundary line and register it with the land registry is the only practical and proportionate option on the table. The Carriage Council collectively voted against this. From my perspective, the matter is now closed and I've reclaimed the land that is rightfully mine. So, this is an update to councillors to say that's where we've got to. There's no motion on this, but it's an update for folks to say that is where we've got to.
Just a comment. So, this a fence has been removed on that line.
Yeah, the fence that was put there in. There's been a fence there for many years. It was last rebuilt there in about 2016 or so. Yeah, the landowner has removed it. Yes.
Has the landowner made an indication about replacing that fence on the suggested amended boundary? Because at the moment, this just fits the fence there.
I think earlier on in they did, but in this recent correspondence made very clear that they're not prepared to accept any maintenance obligation for the fence.
So in other words, the same fence down and there is a fence
there.
That's not quite true though, is it? Because there is a partial fence there at the moment.
Yeah, two bits of partial fence there.
Now, do they relate to the old fence or the new fence?
Well, the owner's already erected a half fence that was black rails of posts, painted black, and that is down by the corner where there are two storage containers. And there are some pictures in last week's, because I think it was a picture in last month's agenda showing the location that this bits of fence that have been erected. So it is the indication that the landowner is saying, we're reclaiming it, but we're not putting fence up.
Is it necessary to have a fence there?
Yes, because he's already mission creeping.
Ah.
He's having his tarmac tipped and it's falling
onto
a little
the other
bit
person.
Further.
Yeah.
So this is beautiful. Councillors aren't being asked to do anything and councillors may decide, well, we'll just leave things as they are.
Well, I think we need some clarifications for what's happening. I mean, there's a pretty strong statement there by the owner. Does that mean that there is going to be no fence there?
What, who's the rest of it? I mean, whose land are they encroaching on?
Well, normally with, like, so with
the
fences,
council.
The fence, if it's your house, it will still which this is fence
yes,
that you're taking,
yeah.
And then that's technically on your land. So if the fence is on land that is owned, well, it's actually common land now,
yeah.
But if it was, then we would be responsible for the fence. But if it's on land that belongs to the adjacent property, then actually they're responsible for it.
I'm confused now. I'm totally confused. There is a new bit of fencing that appears to have been put up.
Partially refenced.
I'm talking about the bit that's not painted black.
And there's a black bit that's not in line with the new bit.
Yeah. So those bits of fence that are there now, when did they get put up and who put them up?
They were put up by the owners of the land.
So there was a fence there originally, an old rickety fence, which they
knocked
down,
down
and put this one up.
Or part of this one up.
Or part of this one up. Are we clear that the landowner is not doing anything further or that's just a temporary halt in the works?
I don't know.
Well, Jack says they've put the lane down tarmac, which is starting to encroach.
Got a heap of having deliveries of tarmac, which are
starting to encroach on them. Yeah.
And if you're observing how they're cutting the bank away as they drive in, a little bit more and a little bit more.
I know which prevention.
Maybe it needs a site visit.
I walked past it once.
Take some pictures next time.
I've taken those pictures and made a bit of them in the previous report. Well, as did Andrew, it's Andrew's report, but I added pictures.
So, shall we just leave it as that we need a bit of further information?
Investigation on that, yeah.
I mean, I'm
sure you're instructed which questions to ask here.
Well, first of all, I don't think we can just leave it. Because, this is pick up the fence position, first of all. But if the fence is actually on land belonging to Poultry Farm, then it's theirs, and we would have no interest in it. We wouldn't expect to maintain it because it would be their fence. So the idea that they can put up a fence and say they're not going to do anything about it is we're apprentices of birds. On the other hand, if they put up a fence on our land, then they shouldn't have done, and we can take it down. So this is a situation which is unsustainable. We have a situation now where we have a boundary dispute between two landowners, one of which is us, and the other one, well, we know who the other one is. And we need to, at the very least, recognise that there is a dispute and record it as such, which may have an influence on the next occasion that something happens there, whether it's a property being bought or sold, or whether further works are done on the road or whatever. And what we would hope that in due course there will be some way found to resolve the matter. But we clearly have a responsibility to protect the land which the council bought many, many years ago, 40 years ago, around there. And I'm disappointed that something where we were trying to be amenable about, and not to be too technical about exactly where the boundary might be, because it's unclear anyway, and looking to find an agreement. What we get back is the final words of the...
Can I just interrupt you, because we are running out of time, and you're making a very long statement, but what you're not doing is saying what do you want the
club
to
have. Well, we need to register in some way that there is a dispute. And I think we need to take the matter away, and I would propose that we have a meeting of the Strategy and Finance Committee, which would be an opportunity for councillors to have a further discussion of this matter. And we can then perhaps decide how to move the thing forward. But we can't just simply let it be, because we might, we are the
guardians of the land.
Okay, so
and right. We will be criticised if we don't go on the land.
Right. So action is you want it to be an SNF meeting, and also they need to have another look at the deeds. I don't think it's going to give us any more information. Another look at the deed for First Meadow to see if there's any indication of ownership or
the
boundary.
The deeds do not give the detail.
And
they're in this report.
They do not give the detail.
Then possibly you need to look at AI and see if we can think about boundary disputes.
Right. So I think that's an action. Okay, so the action is the usual arranged date for a
do councillors, and this is actually looking at all councillors here. Bear in mind that we always lose, we haven't got a full turnout tonight because people aren't well. We always have a reduced turnout at finance and strategy meetings. Do customers really want to go to finance and strategy meetings to discuss this one item? Or do they want someone to put forward a paper, the councillor can put forward a paper by email and it can be discussed throughout the place? Which do people want to do?
I haven't been assigned a committee yet.
Every councillor is on the finance and strategy committee.
Lucky old you can do it.
Lucky me.
You can send an email.
It's really, you make really want to sit in probably the parish office one night to discuss this.
Well, let me put it the other way around, Andrew. Do we want to be sitting discussing this, and it's not going to take 10 minutes on an agenda, it's going to take a lot of time. Do we want to be sitting doing it here? It's one or the other.
I'm asking councillors which they prefer.
I would say have a finance instructor meeting. Right. And put one subject on, and so yeah, it will not be a long meeting.
Yeah. I will organise that meeting.
Okay,
right.
We have got 7 minutes.
Can I record in the minutes that we have recognised that there is a dispute that is ongoing?
No.
Because we do not do those sorts of things.
That's not the way the minister does nowadays.
No.
It's become less of a screenplay and more factual.
Anybody listening to this is going to make up their own mind
about
that.
So we've got two councillors outside currently. Do they both need to be outside for this next?
Yes, we do. Let me think about it. Not Councillor Sherman.
I would want to simply want to outside. Okay, so again, this isn't a motion, it's a report.
Okay, we've got 5 minutes to go, then I'm off.
And this is going very quick.
Good, we've got 6 minutes.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Ian, you get to stop. Right, the reason there is not a header for this is this letter was only received from Suffolk County Council at 4 o'clock last Friday night. It's a letter from the Public Rights of Way saying that this is formal consent from them for vehicular and pedestrian access over the railway walk. To be avoided of doubt, it's 7 days a week, but only in daylight. To cars and pedestrians, 7 days a week in daylight. It's a 3 metre wide strip. No vehicular access granted to any other part of the railway walk. That the parish council and all the allotments association are responsible for maintaining and repairing the access strip, making sure it's level and suitable for intended use of the public right of way. That we can't repair it without talking to Suffolk County Council. That the delivery of building materials, soil fertiliser and other such things to the allotments are permitted. But it's restricted so that there can't be more than 6 in a 24-hour period, etc., and there must be a sign. My interpretation of this is in the context that the original start of this was, apologies, councillors, I've now lost the start of this was, have I got it? That, I've remembered it now. The motion was that I would not go and get legal advice on this matter until we understood what the requirements of Suffolk Public Rights of Way were. That was the motion. And we particularly informed the solicitors that the solicitor didn't go off and do stuff, and then we had to go back round in circles because the Public Rights of Way restrictions then became necessary. But actually, my interpretation of this, and this is really what I'm informing councillors, is that the allotment folk will now have the right to go across that path in their cars and delivering compost, etc. Should their use of that degrade that crossing point, then the parish council will ultimately have to put down some gravel or some wood chips or similar to stop the degrading. Of course, we could reproach the Allotments Association for funding for that, but we need to recognise the primary liability would be on us. But is there any need for the solicitor to get to incorporate lots of wording from the pro people? The answer now is no. So it's a report to you to say this is what's happened and to tell you that I'm now going to go off and work with the solicitor with this in hand.
Super That's duper.
All I was going to say is if anyone has any questions they'd like to ask me.
Yet.
This report.
Well, two things. Do you not feel that the penultimate bullet point is a bit tipped up in the sense that people have to give 48 hours a notice of any deliveries? I can't quite understand why that's necessary.
We would say, can you just give us an email address that we need to write to?
And B, in terms of this is the Latin Parish Council of and or the allotments association on one or two occasions. Are we clear about whether it's the allotments association who are responsible for these things, or are we responsible for them, and do we have an appropriate
balance? Yes, so the answer is, we know that the Lavenham Parish Council would be taking the lease on the site, and that we have a management agreement with the allotments association, and that we can put in that management agreement what we like with the agreement of the allotments association. But what this all clearly means is we have the primary liability for all of these things.
Yeah.
We have the ability to ask / demand that the allotments association contribute to these costs, but we need to recognise it's our primary liability, and then and their pot of funds is relatively limited.
Yes, okay. Well, I mean,
you have a debate
about why their liability
previously. We've got 1 minute. We've got 1 minute left.
So, all I'm suggesting is that we do either make provision, which I would not prefer, or we, in a realistic way, ask the allotment society to expect to be paying the cost of some of these things.
And the quality of health and cancer, I do suggest that actually that you might want
the management agreement would be sorry.
I think that 48 hours notice is probably a little bit top heavy. Is there any negotiation for 24? Yes, that's good.
The other point there is
point maybe.
I suspect that only applies to motor vehicles, so like a big truck thing.
It is, it's a delivery for
someone. Someone in a car with a little trailer with some compost in it, and that's just.
No.
Done. Meeting closed. 12:30.
No.
No? No. Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Councillor Robinson?
Okay, so this meeting is closed. Thank you. We'll give it back on 21:30.
I'm going to make this call.